Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Good Areas Live. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Jared Kimber, who you can find literally everywhere. And we've got Abdul TS and Walking Alive in the comments already. And if you follow this, you know, channel, this YouTube channel regularly, you'll know that a week back or a couple of weeks back, Jared and I spoke about the Saudi Arabian or potential Saudi Arabian entry into cricket. Well, there's been, some news, Jared. The World Cricket Association, or World Cricketers Association, they released a report literally like a week and a half after the Saudi leak, right? It's important to remember that it was a leak and it wasn't news, like coming from the horse's mouth. And basically, the WCA have stated that cricket isn't run like a proper sport and that needs to change. And the timing of all of this is very uncanny, isn't it?
It's very uncanny. I can give you a further update as well. Since my last video came out, the one of the major people from the WCA, Tom Moffat, has asked to come on the podcast.
Lovely.
Right? Or I should say, offer himself for the podcast. So it'll be interesting to see what they say about all this. But yes, for me, it was the timing. And, you know, I put up a Brian Windhorst style message. Now, what does it all mean? Which is the famous meme from American Sports a while back when obviously he knew what it meant. I kind of did a similar thing because first I was like, okay, I understand why this is happening, but why has this come up straight after one after the other? And I haven't talked to Chris Barrett. So Chris Barrett or Dan Bredig might tell me that it wasn't that. But I would assume, and that's up to them. I would never ask them who their sources are, but one day over a beer, I'm sure Chris will tell me. But my guess is that it was someone, it was a player or a player union person who gave them the leak. And then we have the thing. And if that hadn't have happened, the WCA would have said exactly what they said, Behram, and it would have got 1/10 of the media attention.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's staged.
And now,
so I think it was perfectly well timed.
And now Usman Samyuddin has written a piece on it on Crick Info, right? Because of the
Athens
way...
Well, did like, as well.
Yeah, the sequence of events is such.
Like, right? So, and I've done, you know, I've had stuff leaked to me by the Players Union before, but I've also had, you know, times where they've given me exclusives before and, you know, with stuff on Crick Info or The Guardian or whatever it may be, right? Fine. That's a perfectly normal thing. But I could tell you how hard it is. Like, people are so used to the Players Union just coming out, Behram, and saying, oh, cricket's run poorly, we should run it better. And no one reads those articles, right?
Yeah.
Everyone read this article because of the link a week or 8 days, 9, 12 days, whatever it was before, between Saudi Arabia and the Players Union.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to that red ink with Mr. Moffat, I suppose. But just to give people a bit of context, they might have missed the earlier video, but there are a lot of links at play over here, right? So Neil Maxwell, you might have never heard his name like me. He is Pat Cummins' manager slash business partner, former CEO of the Punjab Kings back when it was Kings 11 Punjab. He has played domestic cricket for New South Wales and Victoria, then played for Fiji. And he's been in cricket administration for a while and is a visionary and a dreamer and wants to, you know, set up cricket in a way where players are basically paid better wages. He doesn't really care about the whole equitable sort of thing. And you might be on mute. Yeah.
Good, because I said, imagine that. We should pay the players, right?
Yeah. So Neil Maxwell, to my understanding, has a link to the Australian Cricketers Association, which is the founding organization of the World Cricketers Association. And that's why, you know, all of this kind of gets pieced together, or whatever theory we have does make sense. And if you know anything about Saudi Arabia, post Jamal Khashoggi, the way they've tried to sport wash their image via tourism and sport, you know, they tried to disrupt golf via Live Golf, and they had Greg Norman, aka the Shark, in the Maxwell role. Yeah. Then they tried to disrupt football by, you know, hiring a lot of these famous footballers, albeit
Formula One.
Yeah, Formula One is also in there. But like in football, they went for the Ronaldos and the Benzemas, who are kind of past their prime, but still big names. And then you've got the Visit Saudi Arabia ads and the Aramco, you know, advertisements and all of that stuff. So the setup makes sense. And they probably want to have most people on board as well in order to make this work. So they probably learned a few things from their previous disruptions, some of which didn't work as well, right?
Yeah, well, the golfers, they were paying like $200 million to, weren't they? And that hasn't worked really the way they wanted.
So just a question on that.
Well, if you're trying to sports wash yourself, right? Is it sports wash if every single newspaper journalist in the world basically goes, this is terrible, you're ruining golf?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You're actually making it worse, aren't you?
In a way you are, but then tourism and sport are two great avenues to kind of carry out sports washing, I believe. You know, and we have seen instances of this in the past. But then again,
yeah,
there is some other info at play over here as well. So we know that the Saudis have tried to buy the IPL, they sponsor it, and the IPL auction was even held in Saudi Arabia. And then, of course, we know that Aramco and Visit Saudi Arabia have been sponsors for the ICC as well. So they're clearly pumping money into cricket as a sponsor. You mentioned how at that World Test Championship final, the Saudi prince asked for a copy of the laws, which is also something which is very interesting. And they've tried to work with the BCCI, but most importantly, I feel, because they even have a link with Cricket Australia through DAZN. And DAZN is a streaming service which they have bought. And of course, Neil Maxwell is Australian. So they have a link to the Cricketers Association.
DAZN just bought Foxtel as well.
Well, there so you have it.
They've doubled their link to it, Cricket Australia.
That's insane, right? But what kind of intrigues me the most over here is perhaps their potential link to the Ambanis. I mean, they do have an existing link because Saudi Arabia owns like a part of Reliance / Jio, right? And that suggests that they do have a close working relationship with the Ambanis, who are probably the most influential family in cricket, who are not really administrators, right? They own all the Mumbai Indians franchises and they also own ESPN Cricinfo. So my question to you over here is, do they even need the BCCI links if they've got the link with the Ambanis sorted?
There's another journalist, and I won't say his name because he's been working on a big feature on this and hopefully it will come out in the next week, but him and I have been sharing stuff. We're a bit split on whether you could do this without the BCCI or not. Because, okay, so my first thought was, why do you need the BCCI in this, right? Because if I'm a billionaire, Bayram, what am I giving all this money to the BCCI when I could do everything they're doing and do it better and make more money myself, right? So that's how I think. If I was a billionaire, that's certainly how I would probably act. But this is where it gets... Actually, let me take you back a step. Because it's a really good question, but I need to explain the whole thing. So that video came out a couple of weeks ago, and I got a little bit of feedback, but not that much, right? Then the Atherton and the Usman piece comes out. So the WCA report comes out. And I was, as you remember, I was reading my audiobook, right? So I was basically untouchable for that week. I was like, so in my own head, I hated my own voice. I'm speaking into a can. I'm saying the same line four times in a row. You know, my dyslexia is punching me in the face. And then I get a message from John Norman going, have you seen this? And he sends me the links. And I was like, oh, okay. So in a 10-minute break, I sent like three messages. And then I turned my phone off so I could go back into the can and speak into my book. For the next 24 hours, dude, I was on such a wild ride of like, my phone did not stop buzzing day and night. There must have been about 35 to 45 different people WhatsApping me. And we're talking about very, very high up cricket people going, I just saw this video, whatever. And I put one short video up, which is one I talked about before, what could this mean video? My thought process was at that stage that the Ambanis could do this on their own, that they did not actually need BCCI. And when I put the video up that we're talking about now, that's how I was thinking about it, right? Because that's how I would have done it. Since then, I spent the next 24 hours. So it was 24 hours of WhatsApp messages. Then it was 24 hours of phone calls.
Wow. Right?
Literally talking to all these different people. I haven't talked to Neil Maxwell, but I've talked to so many other people within the game. And literally that's what it was for the next 24 hours. And by the end, some of the conversations I had were so insane, right? And you suddenly realize, like, there's one or two different people said this. So they were like, Jared, I know you're focusing on cricket, but basically you haven't focused on the fact that, like, Donald Trump and Narendra Modi are about to have this big tariff thing happen.
Yes.
And I was like, what? What's that got to do with anything? And then they started talking about how the Ambanis and the Shah families, because there's two important families, right? Like the Shah family, and then their relationship and how that works. Right. And then the third, so I've got Donald Trump, right, and Narendra Modi here. I've now got the Shah and the Ambani family relationship on the side.
The Shah family is a direct link to the Indian government because Amit Shah is Home Minister.
Exactly. And so they were saying, you're right. They don't care about the BCCI. It's not the BCCI they're going to keep the relationship with. It's the Shah family and the BJP that they want to keep the relationship with. Now, suddenly they were talking my language because they're like, okay, I get this. But then on top of all that, I knew that Nita Ambani was involved with the Olympics, and I knew that that was a push from the Ambani family. What I didn't realize was, and I t- correct me and tell me if you knew this, that Saudi Arabia and India have gone for the 2036 Olympics.
I did know this.
Did you know about
that? They've bid for that. Yeah.
So then this, suddenly I get this other phone call. One person mentioned it to me in passing, and I sent a couple more messages out. Suddenly I get this phone call going, I think everything that's happening with the IPL is directly linked to that Olympics bid.
True. Right. That makes sense.
So I've had Donald Trump and Narendra Modi. I've now got the Shah and Ambani families, and now I've got the Saudi Olympics bid and the Indian Olympics bid. And you know, you're at that point where you're just like, I don't think anyone knows everything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, with all due respect to Barrett and Bredig, who've done some great reporting about this.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them talking about these sorts of things. Mm. And every phone call was something more like that. And so to go back to your original point, I did agree. That I thought, wait, maybe it's easy here. The Ambanis already have a business partnership through Jio and Reliance with the Saudi government, right? And so you don't actually need, and so you don't actually need the BCCI or even the IPL as it currently is structured to do that. But by the end, I was like, there's so many moving parts here, and that what I was told by one person who knows the Ambanis quite well was that they kind of felt that the Ambanis, even though the Ambanis have bought Cricket Info and have this relationship with with Saudi Arabia and clearly are pushing a lot of this stuff, that isn't their main goal with all this. Cricket is not their main end goal with all of this. That's almost like a side hustle where they're like, oh, we can own more and more cricket. So by the end of it, I was a little bit confused as where to go.
Fair enough. We've got a super chat from Walking Alive who kind of doubles down on that sentiment and says, I'm not sure this happens without the BCCI because the BCCI is so deeply rooted with politics and the last people Ambanis want to piss off is the BJP because it does affect their business, which is all valid.
Yeah. I
think that makes complete
sense.
And
that's what I was saying. If the cricket was the play, I don't think they care about the BJP.
Yeah.
Because if they're like, well, if we buy up all, if we own our version of the IPL and all international cricket, the BJP can do whatever we want. We now have a, you know, $25 to $50 billion a business on our hands for the next 20 odd years, right?
Well, I mean,
but if that isn't their main play and their main play is the Olympics, their main play is something to do with Donald Trump and the tariffs, you know, if they need Narendra Modi to say the things that they need to say to Donald Trump,
true,
right? Like, and that's what I mean. That's how quickly these conversations went from me being like, you know, I know a lot about Neil Maxwell to what the hell have I walked into here?
Yeah.
And you know, there's so many different layers to this and it just keeps going. The more you sort of chip at it, the further it goes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting how the Ambanis have that direct influence with respect to the Olympic committee. But then again, MBS is extremely keen on getting the Olympics to Saudi Arabia. And the fact that we've seen Qatar get a FIFA World Cup, you could assume that Saudis, they either land the Olympics or the FIFA World Cup. They'll be after both of those guys, things. So maybe the Ambanis want to kind of broker a trade where India get the Olympics, Saudi Arabia get the FIFA World Cup, and everyone is happy. That kind of works out, right?
Now you started to get to where I'm coming to, right?
Yeah.
Yash has put some stuff up about how the, I don't know why the, is Varun just pressing buttons?
Yeah, he's just changing the layout. Varun's having fun with this. Anyway, Yash Singh says, Jared, Ambanis really want to focus on their nationalistic image. Going against the BCCI will not go well with Indian nationalism-driven crowd. Vantara and that huge traditional wedding was part of that PR. I do agree, you know?
I agree 100% with that. Yeah. What I would say is, billionaires eventually go after money. Right?
Yeah.
It's all well and good to say that, but we have, put it this way, Kerry Packer was very nationalistic. In fact, to the point at which there was an ad campaign for World Series cricket that was going to focus on more the greatest cricketers and all, you know, it was going to focus on just bringing the best cricketers. And he's like, no, it's about Australia beating the best cricketers.
Yeah.
Which is why Come On Aussie comes on. Now, Kerry Packer fiercely, Kerry Packer could have made so much more money if he did what Rupert Murdoch did and as a billionaire left Australia and gone to America because he obviously had a great business head. He didn't. When it comes down to it, the money plays out at the end of the day as much as anything. But what I'm saying here is that these deals are way above where cricket is. And I didn't think that. And no one I had talked to in cricket thought that. So a lot of people in the comments finally are like, oh, but if you knew this and you knew, and it's just like, yeah. You have to understand that 2 weeks ago, we thought this was a cricket issue. And what me and Bayram are now saying is this has gone well beyond cricket and very fast, right? And it's, you know, I would assume that the WCA is now holding on to this rocket ship, right?
Yeah.
Whereas I think they thought they were, you know, one other thing, you know, just to go back to Neil Maxwell for a minute. One other thing that I thought was really interesting was a couple of people sort of messaged me this week going that Neil Maxwell has basically been trying to do this forever. And I've known of about two or three of them. I think the Champions League was, he had something to do with, he had something to do with America. And obviously now this one. But what this other person was saying is every couple of years, he's just going back to these rich people going, no, this is what we could do. We can completely change everything again, you know, and go in a completely different direction straight away. And so he's been looking for these people over and over again to be able to do that.
Yeah. There's a super chat, but we'll take it shortly because we have a lot more to talk about. And it is time for a short break. You're watching Good Areas Live with Jared and Bahram. And yeah, see you in like half a minute.
As a cricket journalist, I would travel up to 200 days a year, and I loved every part of it, except for one, this little evil pin here, because I needed this to change my SIM card. And when you travel in cricket, you're quite often going from country to country. Don't get me started on how much this would annoy me in the West Indies, but even going from New Zealand to Australia, this pin was the worst. Well, with the Sally eSIM, they sort all of that out for you. They have an eSIM app that you install once, it's cheap, and it works in more than 160 countries around the world. No more turning up at an airport and lining up for a local SIM, trying to give over your passport and your details, and you just want to get in a taxi and go where you're going. No, Sally make it so much easier. You just download the app before you travel and you decide what kind of plan you actually need. Oh, and if you do that with our code, GOODAREAS, or one word, you get an exclusive 15% discount on Sally eSIM data plans. So go right now and download the Sally app and use the code GOODAREAS, or one word, at checkout and travel like a pro with Sally.
Welcome back to the Good Areas Live podcast. I'm Bahram and with me is Jared. And we've been talking about Saudi Arabia's potential takeover of cricket and how it is a far bigger game or political game than the sport itself. Now, let's kind of summarize this for a bit, right? Like, piece it together. So the WCA obviously would want something to change, right? Everything suggests that they do. And also, it's worth mentioning that they also hate the shit leagues because of potential corruption and also unreliable payments to players. So they want something to change over there, right? And if you've got players on board, which I still like kind of am iffy about with the whole $500 million thing, that's not enough money, right?
Agreed.
And you've got some boards on board. Let's suppose that the Ambanis and the Shahs combine somehow over here and the BCCI is on board, right? Cricket Australia already, you know, is in the fray because of Neil Maxwell, of course, who has a link to the Cricket Association. And he's this, you know, visionary sort of dude who's been around forever. And then DAZN and Foxtel. That is a doubling down of links, right? Having the Ambanis and the Shahs on board would more or less seal this in my eyes. But here's an interesting one for you. We know another thing, which you didn't mention in your video. Richard Gould from the ECB has not endorsed the Saudi Slam. He said that the ECB is not for it.
A, I'm very happy you called it the Saudi Slam.
Yeah.
I have heard that they didn't meet with them. So the ECB didn't even meet with them. So from that perspective, it's wild that has happened. But what I have understood is the PCB has met with them. Cricket South Africa have met with them, right? We know the BCCI has met with them, even if it's informally. Certainly, whether it's Cricket Australia has met with them or people involved with Cricket Australia have met with them, that's also happened. So if you get four of the five, do you need the ECB? Right?
True.
Like the players will eventually come over anyway. So yeah, I think that's an issue. We also know that people who work for the Ambanis have been very vocal of recent times. One of them might have been in the report. And then I think that was all right. I'm trying to remember all the different names who were in the report now. And someone else who works for the Ambanis came out and basically said that if Jay Shah's doing this right, this will be the last ever ICC.
Yeah, so that brings me to something, and I really want to talk about this right now. Let me play conspiracy theorist for a bit, right? You've got the Shah family, who are directly linked with the BJP and are so influential. We all know that. And it is the, as I call it, the BJP CCI, right? Oh, there's the tinfoil hat. And then you've got the Ambanis, who, well, Daddy Ambani is one of the richest men in the world. So there's that to consider. Mm-hmm. Cricket Australia's in, supposedly, or quite obviously, I feel, at this point. So what if the entire grand plan of the BJP and the Shah family is that Jay Shah goes over there, becomes chair, does a few things that allow for the ICC to be overthrown, and they set up this new structure altogether? It doesn't like sound completely impossible, does it?
No.
Yeah.
No, I think it's very possible. The fact that people already involved with some of these organizations are saying it out loud tells you that it's a possibility, right?
And you know what, Jared? the fact that there was a mention of Test cricket in the report, the original leak, that makes this even more intriguing.
There's two interesting things. Let's go back to the 500 million. Do you remember when we did the original show and we were like, this doesn't make sense to us?
It's not 500 enough
million is not enough money to take over cricket. We know that, right?
It's not even enough money to run 8 Saudi slams and whatever sort of test arrangement they have in mind. That's just 500 million is chump change for that sort of stuff.
I'm just so happy that Saudi slam has become a thing now. and that I've put it in. So many people, I had someone on the phone the other day go, so the Saudi slam. And I was like, this has become a thing. So what if the 500 million, and Chris Barrett was the one who got this, and what if the 500 million is not what we think it is?
Oh, true.
And what the 500 million actually is a sponsorship deal per year.
Ah, maybe it is that way, right? Because they already are sponsors.
Now let's also imagine that you own a bunch of these T20 teams around the world already, and you have a way of streaming and platforming TV within your companies there. So Geo Reliance, but also they own a share of Fancode. I don't know how big the share of Fancode is, but they own a share of Fancode.
They're in Dream 11. You know, that's more money, fantasy money.
But the fantasy money is different, but you're right. If you own DAZN and you own Foxtel and you own Geo and you own Reliance and you own Fancode, right? You now have a very good way of streaming to all these different places with the cricket to begin with, right? If you own Crick Info, you have I wouldn't say a PR mouthpiece because I would never go that far with Crick Info, but you have a company that is probably willing to say some of your stuff. You could also, if you own Crick Info, could you, and you owned all the cricket rights, wouldn't you just put the live cricket on Crick Info?
You could very easily.
How big that would, I mean, think about it. That would absolutely change everything for Crick Info, right? That's the one thing that Crick Info's always wanted is rights, and they've never really been. Have we ever talked about the Mick Jagger story in 1996?
No, we haven't.
Anyway. Mick Jagger once very briefly put cricket onto the internet in 1996 with Crick Info in partnership. We will tell that story one day because it might actually need to be a stupid cricket episode.
I do know that Mick Jagger is like a big cricket fan and he was friends with Imran Khan. That's all I know about him.
That's a big, maybe Mick Jagger might be an entire podcast on his own one day. His relationship with cricket it's wild, dude. So you have this situation, as we just said, where you can stream it. You can push it to multiple countries. The Ambani family have the right political sway within India. They have the right financial muscle. So maybe the 500 million is not to buy all the players. Maybe the 500 million is the sponsorship for the Saudi Slam. And then you go about doing it that way, right?
Yeah.
And perhaps, and I don't think they've gone to Major League Cricket at the moment, but I know they have talked to people in America. But I don't know who, and I don't know about what. But also, surely you could have a conversation with Major League Cricket, SA20 and PSL, couldn't you?
No. Also, what you could do over here is you could create an umbrella around the existing leagues and kind of build the Saudi Slam sort of structure from there. You've got the PSL, you've got the MLC, you put the Saudi Slam tag on top of that. And basically, from a Saudi perspective, you are pumping money into cricket and you get a chunk out of, you know, the profits. But you're not in an operations role at all because you don't know anything about fucking cricket, right?
And you are... Doesn't it make more sense for that to be the situation?
Yeah, it does.
You have your Visit Saudi up. So every time we watch cricket in the T20 league, right?
Yeah.
We have Visit Saudi up. We have Aramco. We have, I don't know, DAZN or whatever else they own or whatever, you know. Every stadium in the world can have Saudi Arabia or Geo Reliance posters up or whatever you need to have up.
Yeah.
You can do that, right? So there is sort of that side of things, which I think there is an element, of course, of how this also could work.
I mean, think about it, right?
Again,
everyone knows about Aramco. Everyone has seen the Visit Saudi Arabia ad. They double down. And of course, you know, given the fact that it's in the Middle East and it's also like one of those hubs for not transatlantic flights, but you get the drift, right? Like long flights, most of them stop in the Middle East. You open up an entire new industry in which people, you know, just lay over.
So that was another thing I was told, which is that what's the airline called? Is it Saudi Airline? There's a new airline that they're trying to get up. Is it Saudi Airlines? I think it might be. I can't remember now. But that was brought up quite a bit, but that's a big part of it. They want to they're basically trying to become Dubai, right?
Yes. Riyadh. Riyadh is going to be new Dubai is what I hear.
Yeah. And so again, as you said, it's a good place. It's in the middle. It makes sense. And so you can understand the angles and everything else of how that is going to work. So again, a lot of this makes sense. What doesn't really make sense to me is for Saudi Arabia to take over cricket, right? At this stage. Why would you do that when you've got this business relationship with the Ambanis?
Yeah.
Why would you do that when you have these relationships with the ICC, Cricket Australia, and the BCCI? I can understand why that Ambanis might say, do we need the ICC anymore? Can we not just make this money directly, right? And that means that Saudi Arabia could be involved with hosting Cricket World Cups, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying they necessarily have to host them themselves, but they'll probably want one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
But there's a lot of money to be made for Cricket World Cups. And a lot of that money at the moment is flowing out to these random boards. And that's basically what, oh my God, I've forgotten his name. And I know the guy. The guy who used to work for Star, who now works for Reliant.
Okay.
That's basically what he said. Why is all this money going to all these other countries when we're the ones making the money? And so you can see how step by step how this can come in.
Yeah, no, and taking over an existing structure and formalizing it and eliminating the shit leagues and the T10 leagues in the process seems like the perfect ploy. And you already know that players are quite upset, as is the Cricket Association, the union basically, that, you know, the payments issue is big. We see it in the BPL, we see it in other shit leagues. You fix that because the money is now coming from the Saudis and you've got a formalized league structure spread across 8 Grand Slam tournaments, and then somehow you seep into Test cricket, and the only way that can happen is you basically overthrow the ICC, which doesn't seem like a long shot because it's practically an events management company. Like, they've got World Cups. How difficult will it be for this new sort of cohort to organize World Cups? It's not that difficult.
And who just released the plan on how to better allow for World Cups and the IPL into the future in 27, 28 or 28, 29, whatever it was. Who was the organization who just put that out?
Who was it?
The WCA. That's a big part of their plan, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's right there in writing. The actual plan is there. And I don't think that's an accident. Again, I think all of these things are related.
You don't even need rebel World Cups at this point. You could just have proper World Cups under, a new organization.
You just take it over.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says, I think you're confusing the Adani with Shah family. We're not. We've never mentioned the Adanis once. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about them at all. We're talking about Amit Shah and Jay Shah. We're just calling them the Shah family for this because there's no point to... Everyone talks about Jay Shah. Someone sent me a message in cricket the other day going, blah, blah, blah. You know, what does Jay Shah think and all this sort of stuff? And I was like, I don't care what Jay Shah thinks. I care what his dad thinks.
Yeah,
that is honestly the power person.
He is the dude.
And, I'm not saying Jay isn't making some decisions. He's certainly involved. As someone who has a few leaks from the ICC, he's had some interesting moments, I would say, as the chairman of the ICC at the moment.
I mean, he was posing with Rohit with the trophies. That was an interesting
what
one,
more
right?
Can you,
yeah.
Isn't that, that's what they all love to do, though. Yeah, good on them.
That's Jay Shah's favorite thing. They own that. He wants to hog all the screen time and he wants to be there. And it's just weird. Like, it was fine when he was the BCCI or head of the BCCI, but being an ICC chair, it boggles my mind. But also, it's important to discuss over here of how, we're all quite, how do I phrase this? We have come to terms with Saudi Arabia's strategy of sports washing, tourism and sport. We've seen it with golf, football, F1, maybe boxing even. I don't know. The list goes on and on and on. But there are obvious reasons for some players to be uncomfortable with this, which I'm sure is a thing. Here's where it gets interesting. I feel like the Pat Cummins link to Neil Maxwell really helps with the situation, because if Pat Cummins, the woke Aussie prince who was promised, he joins this ship or comes on board, that kind of opens up avenues for a lot of those other players. Hey, Patty's doing it, so let's do it as well.
Can you just read Soham's message here for a minute?
Yes, so Soham has a super chat and he says, not sure about countries like Saudi Arabia getting the sports washing label, given cricket was spread to civilize the savages. Cricket is OG sports washing, and that's why everyone should read Jared's book, Overthrowing Cricket's Empire.
Also, that's literally, Soham, what we talked about in the last podcast.
Yes.
That's why I'm very uncomfortable with sports washing at a time. But I'm also very uncomfortable with Saudi Arabia. And let's be honest, they don't give a shit about cricket. Like, I'm not being rude to Saudi Arabia, but they've shown no interest in cricket until it is politically convenient or what would you say tourism convenient. That yeah. They're very desperate in Indians coming to Saudi Arabia and spending more time in Saudi
and
Arabia with tourism
Cummins,
money.
Pat Cummins could be the Ronaldo or Ronaldo endorsement. You know, it's similar.
And to go back to Pat Cummins, I still find it very interesting that he's someone who doesn't like traditional coals and all this sort of stuff. And has gone out of his way to be for the environment. Well, Aramco, what percentage of the world's pollution comes from that company? Like, am I wrong? Are they not? I could be wrong, but my memory was that Aramco were one of the biggest polluters in the world ever. And I know that Saudi Arabia is trying to pivot away from that, but they're trying to pivot away from that in that way that they're still making money off the actual pollution.
Well, until
I find that very interesting.
Until the world goes like completely green in terms of energy production, we're still going to need the oil. They are diversifying because they now realize that it won't always be that way. The world will move on from fossil fuels.
Which is completely fine. Yeah. Right? Like, I understand that. And but I do find it weird that Pat Cummins, of all people, is involved there. The first player to go, I mean, we saw this with the golfers. And, you know, it wasn't quite as bad for the footballers by that stage. But and that was partly, as you said before, because they were over the hill by the time they were.
Yeah.
But the first player to go over that line in cricket, like, it's, you know, they're going to get some blowback, aren't they? And it's going to change how we think about that player forever. But as I said before, if it's generational wealth, that's very different. But if you're just playing in a league that is basically still the ICC, they've just overthrown the ICC, and it's just Saudi sponsorship money. Well, the last World Cup was Saudi sponsorship money.
Also, right? I could be Pat Cummins and think that, hey, cricket's always been broken. It's always been like racist in many ways, right? Even the whole creation of international cricket, like with the Imperial Cricket, whatever corporation, what was it? What was the ICC?
Imperial Cricket Conference.
Yeah, Imperial Cricket Conference. And then, you know, the disparity has always been there for everyone to see. And we all know that there's corruption as well. So, I mean, what are we even doing here? If we get better money out of this, and I'm retiring anyway, and so many other sports have gone Saudi, then what's the big deal, right? He'd probably trust Neil Maxwell over there. So I feel like he is an important cog in all of this because he could play the Ronaldo role. And other players could feel more comfortable that if Pato's doing it, then let's do it as well.
I just don't think he's going to be the first, if this was the case. But as I said, if it's not a Saudi league and they're just involved with the sponsorship and they allow for the... Because I remember when the Rebel League happened with ZTV, they were going to have to put up all their own money themselves, right?
Yeah.
And the problem with that is you then hope that everyone watches it and that you sponsor it. Like, the first year of Kerry Packer's World Series cricket did not go well financially, right? It was only, and the only reason Kerry Packer managed to turn it around was the fact that it's still really cheap TV content for him. And so he made up heaps of hours of Australian TV content. But the other reason he turned it around is that cricket hadn't worked out, that one day cricket was about to explode and Kerry Packer did.
Yeah.
And so
foresight.
I think the first year of ODI cricket, that he had the World Series cricket, I think there were more ODIs played by him than they had, or whatever you would call them, 50 over games, because they weren't ODIs. But there were more games played by him than there was in either of the two World Cups. So the audience came to that. That isn't the case now. If you do this, you are taking a little bit of a risk, especially if cricket does split, right?
Yes, but also...
If you don't get everyone,
Jared,
it's an issue.
Isn't cricket kind of split with all of these leagues, franchise T20 leagues, right? Because they're kind of challenging international cricket as is. And you've already seen some players opt for leagues over their international teams, which makes complete sense because they want to earn more money. If you formalize the league structure in a proper manner and add more context to every slam, and the Saudis will never want to do this without Indian players being available. Let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
That has to be a part of the deal. So I feel like it could work because then you've got international cricket on one side and a formalized league structure on one side. And then, it'll kind of work like tennis with international cricket being, weirdly enough, like the ATP series and these franchise tournaments being like Grand Slams.
No, it can work. I mean, that's what we talked about in the first one. The players aren't paid what they should get paid.
Yep.
There is no proper structure. Mm-hmm. The ICC isn't a real organization.
Yeah.
No one's really running cricket at the moment. It could work. The issue is if you're taking all that money from Saudis, what happens in a couple of years when they do run out of oil? Or what happens in a couple of years when they don't care about sport anymore? Or there's a new ruling family or everything else? And even the same with you know, it's there's a lot of people talking about the BJP and the Ambani family and all these sorts of things. You know, billionaire families rise and fall.
Yeah.
They don't always have money available. Political parties rise and fall. Like so many things can change. So even if this goes through, it can be a completely different system than we think it would be.
Of course.
In the short term. I just want to go on Walking Alive here. He sent a message going, as long as Test cricket survives in 7 or 8 countries and World Cups are a thing, I'm fine with having that. I'm fine with the Saudi influence as long as players and media get paid as much as they should. Look, I would obviously get paid more in this structure, right? Even if I don't get money from Saudi Arabia, if there's more money in cricket, it will flow through to me.
Yeah.
Right? But the idea that we're still going to have Test cricket in 7 or 8 countries and World Cups are a thing, World Cups are going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Test cricket in 7 or 8 countries, I think we're more likely to have franchise cricket. So whether you're going to be happy with the franchise cricket, because I don't think we're going to have it as 7 or 8 nations. I think we'll have franchises and everything else. But there is still a lot of money to be made in Test cricket. And if it's run correctly, and which it could be. But we have to understand that there's no good outcome from this Walking Alive. But by that, by what I mean by that is things that we all like are going to be upset by this.
And also,
the world is going to change here. It is not going to be how we like cricket anymore. It is going to change. And that's not based on the Saudis, by the way. That could be the ICC falling would change that as well.
Absolutely. And do remember that the original leak mentioned that these Saudi slam tournaments will not overlap with the IPL. So the IPL still runs as a separate entity. This is all the other leagues that they probably take over, right? Which is still conjecture at this point, but we're just trying to make sense of it, right? Which brings me to one important final question. And it's funny how Subway Surfer has a super chat in which he says, isn't Amit Shah less powerful than Mohsin Naqvi? No Indian politician is less powerful than any Pakistani politician. The world doesn't work that way, right? Because of the influence and all of that stuff and money.
Because of the billionaires, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
He's not just powerful because he's with the BJP and he has a relationship with Narendra Modi. He's powerful because he has backing, or he has these, I don't want to say partnerships, but friendships or whatever you would call them with the, do you know that it's, they are all helping each other. And that's the whole idea. Have a look at what's happened look at Donald Trump's first reign, right?
Yeah.
The people who were nice to him got good positions. The second reign, anyone who ever said anything nice about him on Fox got a position, right? Like, people look after people they know and have relationships with. And when those people are powerful, that raises you up as well.
Absolutely.
A few years ago, I realized that trying to find the best stories in cricket was impossible for any fan. I even tried to get funding to make my own cricket Huffington Post. It never quite worked. But luckily, we finally have someone filling this massive void in our game, Best of Cricket. They scour the publications everywhere to find, quite simply, all the best news and the greatest stories on our sport. Then they make it just as easy. They either email it or WhatsApp it direct to you. Cricket's greatest tales delivered to your device. This is truly the best of cricket.
So, to my final talking point, how crucial is Pakistan going to be in all of this? Because if you bring them into the mix, the money blows up insanely.
Mate, it's so crazy the amount of times that, like, as I said, we'll be in this conversation about Donald Trump and tariffs and all this sort of stuff. And then everyone's like, but what do you think about Pakistan? And no one knows.
Yeah.
Right? What I know is that there has been a closening of the Saudi Arabian government and the Indian government. What I know is that there is clearly a link between Saudi Arabia and the Ambani family, right? So we know that there, and you can add BCCI and the IPL sponsorship into all that as well. You know, these are all different major relationships. But at the same time, if this is a money-making venture and Saudi Arabia are investing in it, right, which is very possible, they're the ones putting up all the cash, as I said before. If they're investing in it, they're probably also going to want to put Pakistan in. But let's take it a step further. You can't play India versus Pakistan in bilateral games anymore.
Yeah.
But you can play them in World Cups, right? What if there's a Test franchise in Pakistan and there's a Test franchise in India? Can those two teams play against each other?
Very interesting
question.
Can you
slip that by? And then where are you going to play that series, Bairam? What country would host this mythical 3-test series between India franchise and Pakistan franchise? Let's say there was one in the Middle East who wants all this attention. If you want hundreds of thousands of people to travel to Saudi Arabia, having a 3 or a 5-test series in Riyadh or wherever the hell it would be.
I mean, right? good luck to is the players that... playing in that heat. Or maybe they're air-conditioned, the stadiums. That could also
I was going to say, can we have an indoor stadium as well? But you see what I'm saying? Like, the more you go from side to side, right, and the more you go up and down, you come up with all these sorts of things. Like, to go back to that comment before, and why can't I remember the guy's name? But I want to say, is it the Geo Reliance? Is it Uday Shankar? Is that who I mean?
Maybe it is.
Oh my God, I should know this. I'm trying to remember who I'm thinking of.
Okay,
yeah, was it Uday Shankar? So Uday Shankar, I met him years ago. You know how highly I think of Neil Maxwell. Uday Shankar, another guy that it's just you walk into the room, you talk to him, and you just realize he sees the whole board.
Yeah,
right? Like sometimes I'll walk in and I'll meet a CEO or a chairman. And I'm like I remember having a conversation with someone really high up in cricket once, going, "Yeah, that won't work because of this, this, and this." And they looked at me in blank, Bayram, because it wasn't even something that they had thought of. Uday Shankar was one of the people I met, and I think it was him who said that Jay Shah will bring the ICC down. Right?
Oh, well then. Uday Shankar is saying this, guys.
The other
to
thing
all those that people
I,
who
sorry,
are taking the piss out of us in the comment section, there's a bit more info for you.
What was that?
Some people in the comments were saying that, oh, this is not possible. The ICC won't go, you know, out of power or whatever. But there you have it. It's a conspiracy theory
ICC. Me and Bayram could take down the ICC if we wanted to, because all you need to do is replicate the earnings of the World Cups.
But then again, right? I know this one fact, just to close up on the Pakistan bit, right?
Yeah.
Mohsin Naqvi, maybe not as powerful as Amit Shah, but he has direct links to the establishment. We know that, right? And
The
establishment has very close links to Saudi Arabia, right? Like extremely close links. So when they would have read about the leak, they would have probably rung up, you know, someone in the royal family, I'm assuming.
And I think it was Uday Shankar.
I'm not saying that the Saudis need
Pakistan. Let me finish this. No.
Yeah.
Just let me finish this, because I think you'll like this. I think it was Uday Shankar, but I might be wrong, actually, because now I can't find the quote. But someone sent it to me the other day on Times of India or wherever. So it might have been someone else who was involved with them. But it was someone who was very smart who I've come across before. But I might have the name wrong. But they were basically saying, why would we have a situation where India is making all of this money and India has to play all these teams that no one cares about and they don't make as much money when all you want to do is play Pakistan over and over again and make money, right? That's what he was saying.
Yeah.
So if whoever this person is, and I've lost the link and I can't find it anywhere, but whoever this person is, if they are actually involved with that, right, and they believe that and other people around them, more powerful people than them also believe that, the best way to do this is to take this over, right, and actually partner up with these two things, right? Because then, as I said before, if you can get around the fact that India can't play Pakistan in bilaterals, but you can actually make it so that India and Pakistan franchises play each other regularly and in long series, in test series, and in multiple T20 series, and in ODIs, whatever you want, right? If you own everything, then there's a lot of money to be made, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just another one of these hanging chads that we don't know about when it comes to this.
Walking Alive over here says, I'm not sure Saudis are pro-Pakistan. Look, they are allies, but Pakistan benefits out of the relationship more. So it's not like they need Pakistan as much, right? But Pakistan needs them, and they will know that there is more money to be made over here. So in order to utilize or even exploit that relationships and maybe give Pakistan the rough end of the stick, they don't even make that much money out of it, but to have their players and bring in more money into whatever sort of venture they have is still a possibility, right? And we don't know how strong those links run with respect to the current, you know, top dogs in the Saudi royal family and the current top dogs in Pakistan's establishment and the government. So it's a fascinating one. I don't really know what's going on over there, but I'm sure that some conversations must have been had. Like, I cannot see a world in which they wouldn't have been had.
100%. Look, the whole thing's fascinating. We don't know that much, right? We did a podcast 2 weeks ago about what we know.
Yeah.
And since then, things have completely changed and twisted quite a bit.
Yeah.
And we are going to continue to see these weird things over and over again into the future.
Absolutely.
It's a fascinating one to talk about. And like Anish has put up, T5 Dr. D. Yeah, whatever his name is.
T5 Dr. Double D.
Congress wins. It says, don't worry, Congress wins. They should justice Pakistan. By the way, on that sort of, that's what I was saying before. If the politics change, then all of this changes.
Yeah,
but
true.
Anish has said, I don't care about Saudi and Ambani's. What's going on with Sunrisers? That's more than fine. But what we are talking about is how much the entire system can change, right? So it's all well and good to say, I don't like hearing about cricket politics and everything. And look, I've had people telling me that my entire career. absolutely fine and a normal thing, right?
Yeah. And but to answer,
when it comes down to it, you know, it's things are changing, and these are things that could change the way we watch cricket forever. Mm. This is why we don't do a lot of it, but if you're following me around 2011 to 2015, I covered this stuff a lot. The reason we cover it a lot is because it can change absolutely everything, and fans need to know what is actually happening.
Yeah, what Jared said. Also, the four overseas picks for Sunrisers would be Head, Klaassen, Markram, and Zampa for me. Anyway, there's one more super chat. If we can take that real quick and then call it a day, because my parents are celebrating their 49th wedding anniversary and I missed the cake cutting because of your super chats. Soham Bhattacharya says, how likely do you think the takeover is, a percentage figure? I mean, anything could happen, and it may not necessarily happen the way we're assuming it will, right? Because this is conjecture at the end of the day, but we're trying to tell you what we know and piecing the puzzle and making sense of it. So I would say that the
80%.
The percentage.
Yeah.
For cricket to change the way it is run currently to some other new system, I would say even 85%.
Yeah, I was going to say 80. We will see a big change. What that big change is, I don't know. We'll see a big change. This actual takeover with, let's say, Saudi, Ambani, BCCI, I'm just assuming, and Cricket Australia, whether it be in that shape or not. But there are other people now who are looking on from outside going, wait a minute, this is all open, right?
Yeah.
And when that happens, sharks come to the table. There'll be other people with big money and big politics that want to get involved as well. So I think we will see I think 80% chance we see a fundamental change in cricket in the next 3 years. Whether it's this takeover or something else, I don't know. But I'll leave this for the last point so Bayram can go and enjoy the cake in the other room.
Yeah.
And it was Uday Shankar. I was right. And it was the Indian Express, not the Times of India, the article
there you
I was
go. Before.
That's why I couldn't find it. But I'll leave with this one last point. Every person I talked to said basically one version of the same thing, which is there is so much money in cricket that is not being made because of how cricket is run. And so when you have an industry like that, what do you get, Bayram? You get disruptors.
Yes.
We saw it with the Rebel League in 2015. We saw it with Kerry Packer. We saw it with the ICL. And we're seeing it again now.
You're even seeing it
change the fabric of the game.
You're seeing it with European football, for crying out loud. The Champions League has a new structure, right? Like, everyone wants to make more money and tap into the true potential of the sport. And I think what the WCA report confirms is that, hey, we don't think the sport's potential is being 100% tapped into, and the sport is broken and this needs to change. Arco says, Markram is an LSG bear. I'm sorry for that. I do remember this now. So
Come on now.
Head, Klaassen, Zampa, and who? Who is it?
I don't know.
Yeah,
a minute ago I was talking about Trump and the IOC, and people were asking me why we were talking about the Adanis when we weren't even talking about the Adanis.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, let us know what your thoughts are in the comments below, because obviously this is a very interesting subject. And as it continues to unfold, we will come and talk about it on, you know, Good Areas live shows. But anyway, just a quick reminder, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage, and that can be a one-stop shop for all the work that we do, whether it be written content, podcasts, or videos. And yeah, that's a wrap for today. Have a good one, guys, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bayram Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make any content, Minvo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minvo.pro now.